Our gospel reading this morning will come from chapter 1 of John's gospel. We'll be reading from verse 43 through 51. So let us listen to God's word for us. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Behold, I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You shall see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." It's the word of the Lord. We won't be long here this morning, but this is the second Sunday, the second Sunday in the season of Epiphany. And we don't have the opportunity to talk about Epiphany a lot. It's one of another one of those strange sounding seasons like Advent and Lent that we sometimes wonder about. During Epiphany, we don't light any candles and we don't have any special sayings, but still it's a very important season. Because it's during the season of Epiphany we are asked to consider what it means that God came to be with us in the person of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is, of course, God with us, if he is the Son of God, if he is God with us and for us, then what does it mean that he has come to be in our midst? One of the things, of course, that it means is discipleship. Jesus reminds us that he needs disciples, people who will follow him. All of the gospel narratives tell us that one of the things that Jesus does immediately after his baptism is that he calls disciples, people who will follow him, people who will listen to him, people who will be shaped and formed by him. He calls them around himself. It is an invitation to follow Jesus. That is what the phrase "come and see" means in John's gospel. It's an invitation to follow Jesus, an invitation to become a part of his community of love and forgiveness and reconciliation. We're reminded this morning that to be a disciple of Jesus is not just to follow him, but it means to invite others to follow him as well. That's what Philip does in our text this morning. Jesus has called Philip to follow him, to become one of his disciples. And Philip does what any good disciple would do. He goes and he shares the good news with his friend Nathanael. "I have found the one that we have all been waiting for," says Philip. "I have found the one that is foretold by Moses and the prophets. I have found Jesus of Nazareth." But Nathanael, like all of us, is weighed down by his prejudices and his worldly assumptions. We can almost see the sneer in his face. "Nazareth? You didn't say Nazareth, did you? You know how those Nazarenes are. Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip doesn't try to argue with Nathanael. He doesn't beat him over the head with doctrine. He doesn't try to scare him. Instead, Philip invites him simply to come and see. Come and see and experience the good news for yourself. And isn't that what we do whenever we are excited about anything? Whenever there is something that's important to us, one of the things that we immediately do is invite others to come and see. Come and see. That's what Philip tells Nathanael in our text this morning. Many of us are here this morning because someone at one time took an opportunity to invite us to come and to see. They invited us to come and see and experience the love and the grace of God for ourselves. It may have been a parent, it may have been a neighbor, it may have been a coworker, it may have been someone off the street, but they invited us to come and to see. They knew that the good news was not something that you could just tell someone, but the good news was something that had to be experienced and seen for oneself. And so they invited us to come and see. And as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to do the same. We are called to go out and invite others to come and to see and experience the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through all of us. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. It means that we are called to embody the love of Christ in the world for all to see. So Philip tells Nathanael to come and see. Leave your old prejudices, your old assumptions behind, and come and embark on a whole new way of life, a way of life that has God at the center of it. That's what being a disciple is all about. And Nathanael does do just that. He comes and he goes and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus knows Nathanael. Jesus knows everything about Nathanael, and Nathanael knows Jesus. He says to him, "My Lord and my God, you are indeed the Son of God, the King of Israel." I say this morning about discipleship because I'd come this morning planned to say something about Martin Luther King Jr. Tomorrow is his birthday, or tomorrow is the day that has been marked as a national holiday in his honor. And I came prepared this morning to say much more about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was indeed a true disciple of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But in his life, Dr. King helped us to come and to see what the kingdom of God is all about. He invited us to come and to see what it means to live as God's people in the world. It's hard to believe that it's been almost 30 years since Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, signed the bill into law making the third Monday in January a holiday honoring the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And indeed, the hand of God was all over it because 6 years earlier, President Reagan, or Ronald Reagan then, had begun his quest for the presidency in Philadelphia. Not here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but in Philadelphia, Mississippi. It was the place where three young civil rights workers were abducted and murdered in 1963 in a brutal act of terrorism. When we think of terrorism, we often think, of course, of Islamic extremists, the kind of people who are responsible for the mayhem and violence in Paris last week. But we are reminded that in our own country, there's a history of violence and terror, often done in the name of God. I used to live and work in Stone Mountain, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta, the birthplace of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Back in the day, the Klan used to burn a huge cross on the top of the mountain that could be seen all the way in Atlanta. It was a sign of their commitment to use terror and violence in order to maintain the structures of Jim Crow. They believed that Jim Crow was the will of God, and so they were willing to use violence and terror, just as many of the young men in places like Syria and Iraq and in places of Europe today are willing to use terror in the name of God. It was in this context that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was called to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was in this context that he was called to follow Jesus, to follow the way of Jesus, to follow the way of self-giving love. Today we celebrate his life, but at the time of his death, it's important to remember that he was one of the most hated and reviled men in America. Not just among Southern whites, but even among some blacks. There were many people who would come to despise and hate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. People called him all kinds of things. Some called him a communist. Some called him anti-American. Some called him an Uncle Tom. People called him all kinds of names. He was hated because, as a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he dared to invite us as a nation to leave behind our old prejudices and hatreds and come and see a whole new way of life, a way of life with God at the center of it, a life of love and justice and forgiveness and nonviolence. Dr. King had his own word for it. He called it the beloved community, a community where people genuinely loved and cared for one another across racial, class, and economic lines. We are gathered here this morning as part of that beloved community. We are gathered here as God's people to say, come and see with our very lives. Come and see what God is doing through us. Come and see what God is doing through our individual lives, and come and see what God is doing through our corporate life together as a household of God. Martin Luther King's greatness was not that he was a courageous civil rights leader. It was not that he was a powerful orator and preacher. It was not that he stared down racist Southern sheriffs in places like Selma and Montgomery. But his greatness stemmed from the fact that he was a follower and disciple of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His gift to us was that he came to show us in his writings and his actions and in his life what it means to be the body of Christ in the world. And he called all of us to come and to see that. He would say that hatred paralyzes life, but love releases it. Hatred confuses life, but love harmonizes it. Hatred darkens life, but love illuminates it. He would not just say those words, but he would live those words. He would show what it means to be a person dedicated to the love and forgiveness and reconciliation that is offered in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, I would ask you to stop and consider what it means to be a part of that beloved community. Dr. King would be killed in April of 1968, and I think we can all agree that our country still has a great deal of work to do in terms of the vision that he laid out. But when we come to a place like this, Sunday after Sunday, we are keeping his vision alive. When we come to a place like this, we are reminding ourselves and reminding the world that this is what it means to be the people of God, to be a loving people, to be a forgiving people, to be a people who struggles to be reconciled with one another, because that's the way that God desires us to live, That's the way that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ showed us how to live. Come and see. Come and see how we do it here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Come and see how together people of different backgrounds come to worship. Come and see how we love the Lord Jesus Christ, how we love God, and how we love one another. Come and see as we struggle to be faithful disciples and followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I hope tomorrow, if the day and the weather permits, that you'll have an opportunity to get out and to reflect on what it means to be not only a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, but to appreciate and to recognize and to celebrate the holiday in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King, to remember his vision, to remember his faithfulness, to remember his discipleship as one of God's children in the midst of our world. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.